interesting piece of classic rock trivia? Only Rolling Stone song to include the word scurvy in its lyrics. Look it up.
I believe you.
That's me. I'm the king of valuable information.
Scurvy.
Oh, did I say king? I'm sorry. This is the vacation edition of the large morning show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Frank, Ian, and Dan are on vacation. I'm Paul Harris, here with Josh and Tim. And Colin Jeffrey joins me now for the Tuesday Showbiz segment. And it is brought to you by the fine folks at Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. If you need windows, windowworldst.louis.com is the website. You were able to tear yourself away from Snowpocalypse Central to join us here?
Yeah, we're going to get a few inches of snow.
Yeah.
I think we'll all make it out.
You think?
That is not how you're supposed to be doing this in the news business.
I'm sorry.
The world is ending. We're on French toast alert.
Exactly.
Get the bread, get the milk, get the eggs. You're going to be locked in your home for the next no days.
Did you send anybody out to the J.J. Kelly overpass?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we're here to talk showbiz stuff, and I don't even know what it is you normally do on Tuesdays, because I only see you on Fridays when we do movie reviews and that sort of thing.
I set up Frank for lots of puns on Tuesdays.
Well, who doesn't?
Exactly. No, we talk about DVDs coming out, some TV, and then I'll have a few stories.
Okay.
So we can start there if you want.
All right.
DVDs this week. The biggest one is Straight Outta Compton. That, interestingly enough, got, by and large, overlooked at the Oscars. We'll come back to that later. It's worth a watch. I quite enjoyed it. Everest, it really wasn't anything too great, but it was, you know, people climbing Mount Everest. There was lots of snow.
You know, when you did your review of it on my show, I thought to myself, well, I was going to go see it because it seemed like it would be a great big screen movie to see.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're seeing a movie about people climbing the highest mountain in the world, you probably don't want to watch that on your iPad.
Yes, except if you remember, the issue is all of the shots that are supposed to be these large, sweeping panoramas from the highest points, it looks like it was shot on a soundstage.
Mm.
And so you just don't get that sense of scale.
If it looks like that, then that's a reason not to watch it on the big screen. And now it's available on the small screen. No reason to watch it there.
No.
Yeah.
Rent it. The Intern with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway.
I saw that.
Charming enough.
It was okay.
Yeah. It's, again, charming enough.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's another one of those movies Robert De Niro made that no one will remember.
Exactly. He's had a lot of those in the second half of his career.
Bad Grandpa?
He's got Dirty Grandpa coming out in a couple of weeks. Are you going to go see the screening of that?
I know you won't, so I'll probably have to bite the bullet there.
I was going
to
say.
Zac Efron, an Academy Award winner. Robert De Niro.
There are two names you didn't think you'd ever hear in the same sentence. Well,
no.
You know what? The way De Niro... You see, here's something I don't like about De Niro. I respect the man tremendously. He's done some of the greatest performances ever on the big screen. But he does not know a single word that is the synonym of no.
Yeah.
Bob, we have a movie idea for you here. I'm in! Well, don't you want to hear what it is? No, I'm going to do it, whatever it is.
Yep.
That's how you end up in Dirty Grandpa and The Intern and...
Yeah.
The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Maybe much like my grandpa, he's mellowing with age. We got a Zac Efron. Oh, he's a good kid. Yeah, let's do it. That was my Robert De Niro.
That was your De Niro?
Was it?
Wow. You know what? If anybody ever asks you to do that again, you should say, no!
I heard good things. I've heard good things about him.
And then Lord... Well,
who was that supposed to be?
That was Robert De Niro again.
Wow.
Learning to Drive with Ben Kingsley and Patricia Clarkson. Cute enough movie about Patricia Clarkson moving on from a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Kingsley is an immigrant who teaches driving. And it's about both of them growing as people.
I liked it.
I did too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you should watch Learning to Drive.
Yeah, and they're both good movies here.
TV, I'm very excited for some of the TV
stuff. Before you get to the TV, can I just go back? I'm looking at IMDb at Robert De Niro's movies. He's in the David O. Russell movies, including Joy.
Yes.
Which, did you like that? I didn't see it. You didn't like it. Okay.
It's not like a bad movie, but.
But here's just in the last few years, the movies he's made. He was in a movie called Heist, which is not the David Mamet movie Heist, which has Gene Hackman in it and Danny DeVito and a terrific David Mamet, movie. He was in a movie called The Bag Man. Did that ever come out?
I don't remember.
I never even heard of that movie. Mm-mm. He was in The Big Wedding. He was in Killing Season. He was in The Family, He was in Las Vegas with Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Kline. That was terrible.
Yep.
He was in Grudge Match, where he fought Sylvester Stallone. Also terrible. He was in something called Red Lights. I don't even know what that was about.
That never came out.
Traffic light repairman.
He was in Being Flynn with Paul Dano,
who was
in Love and Mercy and was so good. He was in something called Freelancers. What was that?
I have no idea.
Never heard of it. And you got to go back to Silver Linings Playbook in 2012 to find a good movie he's done. And did I just list a dozen movies he's done since 2012?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. I know you like to work, Bob, but every once in a while you should say, you know what? No. This is a terrible script, and I'm not going
to
do it.
Is he having to pull like a Brando in 1972? I'll take $250,000 to be in The Godfather down from a couple million, 15 years early. Is that what he's doing? Is he just having to, because of all this junk he's putting out?
I don't know.
Do you think he's like $1 million-a-movie guy?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he still is.
But that's what I'm saying. He should be way more.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro, you should have to be, this is a big get.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back beyond the Silver Linings Playbook, you have The Ages of Love. I don't think that ever came out. Limitless with Bradley Cooper. That was okay.
And they made it into a series.
Yeah, they did. He was in something called Killer Elite. He was in New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
He was in Machete. He was in Stone. Stop me if you recognize any of these movies.
I recognize them, but they're not good. They're not good.
Man. I understand an actor wants to act, but when you're Robert De Niro, you should have more discretion about what you do.
You should just start a vlog.
And it's not that he's only taking the opportunities that are coming down the pike. It's not like he only makes a movie every couple of years and they're not that great. That's Al Pacino.
Yes.
but De Niro just takes everything that's out there.
Yeah, I don't get that.
And I will say, in that light, The Intern is one of his best last 5 years.
It's much better than a lot.
Yeah.
But still.
Different perspective now.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Some TV. Thursday night, Baskets on FX. This is a Louis C.K. executive produced. He was a co-creator of this with Zach Galifianakis, who is the star. He plays a character, Chip Baskets. He does not give up on his dream after flunking out of a French clown school.
Mm.
He returns to Bakersfield, California, and lands work with a rodeo, as you guessed it, a clown.
Uh-huh.
This is what I'm calling a cringe comedy. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
And the if you laugh at uncomfortable things, think real Michael Scott from The Office, not self-aware. This is up your alley. If you don't like that, do not watch this. You'll just sit there literally cringing the entire time.
It sounds like high concept.
It's like what Louis C.K. has been doing with Louis. It's sort of saying, I can do comedy. You know I can. I'm going to see how far I can stretch what's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it a lot like what The Last Man on Earth has become on Fox, where they're taking the idea of sort of a sitcom and bringing in parts to build a sitcom and then tearing it down and sort of saying, we are the anti-Big Bang Theory.
But if I may just defend Last Man on Earth, I don't watch it anymore, but I did watch it at the beginning, and at least it has a good concept. He thinks he's the last man on Earth because disease has ravaged mankind.
Yes.
And he drives across America and can't find anybody, and he puts up signs wherever he goes, alive in
Tucson.
and the story then takes off from there as he finds out he's not really the last man on Earth.
Yes.
What I just did, that was the 10-second pitch for that. That's a TV show.
It is.
Here's what isn't a TV show. Zach Galifianakis went to French clowns.
Failed. Failed out of French
clowns. Failed out of French clowns. I'm bored already. I don't care.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
You are?
I'm quite a bit looking forward to this. Well, I like just about all of the FX comedies. They would not have a place anywhere else. They're weird.
You watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah?
My wife regrets getting me hooked on that because I always watch it now.
Wow.
What about that one, Wilford, where
The dog
hangs out with that dog?
He is a dog.
Okay.
The dog is played by a human, yes.
Right.
That was funny.
Is that a good movie or TV show?
I liked it. Okay. It's weird. Again, it's a dog. This man has a dog that is played by a human.
Suffice to say, we're not talking about Mr. Mainstream Taste here.
Right.
But that's okay.
No, that's fine. I'm going to give you some other things that are a bit more mainstream.
Will you review Baskets for us on Friday?
Yeah, sure.
You're going to watch it on Thursday night?
I'll watch it Thursday night, yeah.
Okay.
Darknet on Showtime this Thursday night as well. It's late because it's inappropriate and it's on Showtime. An estimated 80% of the internet, they say, resides at a place that conventional search engines can't find. So you've got to find a way to access it. We're becoming more and more aware. It's making its way into TV and movies. Well, this is an 8-part documentary series that examines what happens on the so-called deep web or darknet. It starts with a look at relationships and how it's nurturing these atypical relationships. People are able to communicate there anonymously and all this information. So this starts by examining one couple's long-distance master-slave affair.
Mm.
Leave it at that. It's Thursday nights. It's going to be Thursday nights on Showtime, if it sounds interesting. Frontline, Supplements and Safety. You are a James Randi fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's spoken before about all these pills. Take this pill, you lose 20 pounds in mm-hmm. 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a look at that by Frontline. Thank you, PBS.
Yep, that airs tight.
Extended look at the vitamin and supplement industry and how so much of it can't be regulated because they found loopholes where they, yes.
Well, it should be regulated.
Should, but
and
it's
the
not.
Fact that it's not regulated means that they're out there making all of these bogus claims mm-hmm. about, you know, take this supplement. You know what you need in your diet? You need what? And then they name some Latin name for
CoQ10. CoQ10.
Yeah. Well, all of those are the sort of things that, you know, fill up the shelves of GNC and those kind of mm-hmm. places. But the fact of the matter is, they have no effect on your health whatsoever.
Pretty much.
And they can make these claims just like the people who make homeopathic products mm-hmm. can make the claim, even though those have even less effect on your health if you take them. You're essentially drinking water. That's all they are. And yet they're allowed to be on the shelves. This is to the great shame of our federal government, not regulating everything that's out there that makes claims about health. And this will make you better. This will make your knees not ache. This will help your heart. This will help your lungs. This will help your pancreas, whatever it is that they're claiming. Unless they can prove it scientifically, it should not allow to be on the shelf.
Well, there you go. There's a show tonight on PBS. I want to say 9 o'clock, but you know how PBS is. They can throw things around. So look on your guide tonight. DC Legends of Tomorrow. It's a whole bunch of superheroes teaming up. It's on CW Thursday night as well. And then the one I'm very, very excited about. Sunday night, this coming Sunday, and the following Monday night on Fox. It's Sunday night at 9 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Monday night. The X-Files returns. Mulder and Scully reunite for a miniseries. It's 6 parts, I believe. Episodes 1 and 6 are overarching story. They deal with the mythology of X-Files. Episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all Monster of the Week episodes.
Okay.
So if you're looking forward to this, X-Files reopened.
With Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny?
And David Duchovny, both back, reprising their roles.
Is Sunday night going to be the same episode as Monday night?
No, they're airing the two to build up some momentum.
And then what night will it be on after that?
I believe Mondays for the next 4 weeks after.
That's on Fox?
That's on Fox. Sunday night at 9, Monday night at 7.
Speaking of Sunday nights, I was promoting the Showtime series Billions last week. I interviewed Brian Koppelman, the showrunner of this new episodic series with Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis. Its premiere on Sunday night was the biggest debut Showtime has ever had for an original series.
Well,
huge audience for that.
It's probably benefiting from the Big Short buzz, too. The whole idea that's back in the public mind right now.
Yep. Also, HBO this month is airing The Godfather Saga, which runs 7.5 hours. This is something that was originally done in the late 70s. Francis Ford Coppola took Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. There was no Godfather 3 yet. And he took Godfather 1 and Godfather 2 and put them in chronological order.
Oh, wow.
So it starts off with Robert De Niro as Vito Corleone and then works its way up to Marlon Brando being Vito Corleone and all the way through in chronological order.
Yes.
It originally aired once on NBC in 1979. Then it was censored on NBC.
Shocker.
And they had commercials. Now that it's on HBO, 7.5 hours worth, HBO is running it several times this month.
That's cool. And Tracy Morgan on Jimmy Fallon said he figured out how Sonny Corleone could have survived. He said if he just had an easy pass, his whole story would have ended differently. Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert for a 45-year-old movie.
Never got his change. In that Godfather saga, there's extra scenes.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I don't think anything that would alter the course of the storyline.
Yeah. Well, I was curious about this. How did you get it to 7.5 hours?
Yeah, that's a...
Because, they did this in the late 70s. There was no Godfather 3 yet. Those first two movies were not 3.75 hours each.
No.
No.
So they must have added a lot of stuff.
More scenes of him picking the olives to make the olive
oil. The tomatoes.
The tomatoes, yes. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
While he's chasing his grandson around. Now, there's one overarching showbiz story that has been in the news a lot for the last 5 days or so. After the Academy Award nominations came out on Thursday morning, and you and I talked about this a little bit on Friday afternoon, there have been a few people who were upset that all 20 acting nominations for Best Actress and Actor, Supporting Actress, Supporting Actor, they all went to white actors.
Yes.
There's not a person of color included among them.
Second year in a row.
And in fact, Straight Outta Compton, which you mentioned before, is now out on DVD. The only people who were nominated for that movie are the two white people who wrote it.
Yes. It begs the question, how did they write that movie?
Well, they're allowed to know something about the story.
Yeah,
But in the last 24 hours, we've heard of a couple of people in Hollywood who say they're going to boycott the Academy Awards, including Spike Lee.
Who hasn't been nominated or won an Academy Award in three decades?
He made a movie called Chi-Raq, was seen by virtually no one outside of the actual red carpet premiere nights. I don't even know if it made it to a theater in this area. I know we didn't have a screening of it.
No.
And Jada Pinkett Smith, who is Will Smith's wife, who might be a little bit upset that her husband didn't get nominated for what I thought was a terrific performance as Dr. Bennett Omalu in the movie Concussion.
Yes.
So they say that they are going to boycott the Oscars, which to me means a party I wasn't invited to, I'm not going to that party.
Yeah.
I mean, do people who aren't nominated or affiliated with a nominated movie, do they normally go to the Oscars? No. They're not there. I mean, maybe in the days that Jack Nicholson always sat in the front row, he'd be there. But he was in a movie every year. These are people who made movies that nobody, like Michael Moore, says, yes. Oh, I'm with Jada and Spike. I'm not going to the Oscars either. No one asked you to go to the Oscars.
Yeah, I wonder how
that works. And you don't have to be invited. I'm sure if you're in Hollywood and you were, you're affiliated with a movie, you get the invitation through the movie studio, or you could probably go out and buy tickets if you want to. I think that's how the Academy Award auditorium is filled. But to say, I'm not going, okay, who cares? We'll remember not to take a shot of you when you're not there. Now, I did point out on Friday, it's going to be very interesting because Chris Rock is the host this year. And he, of course, being African-American, might have some things to say about that.
He's known as Comedy Style for pulling punches. that's his big thing.
Well, let me take you back to 1988, a year in which also no African-American actors were nominated for any of the 20 acting awards. And they get to the Best Picture, which is the final award of the night. And who comes out to present it but Eddie Murphy, who had a couple of things to say before ripping open the envelope.
At first, when they came to me and he said he wanted me to present the award for Best Picture, my manager came and they told me that the Academy had picked me. And my first reaction was to say, no, I ain't going. And I said, my manager said, but why? Like a white manager said, why? And I said, I'm not going because they haven't recognized black people in the motion picture industry. What are you talking about? Black people won Oscars. I said, well, black actors and actresses that won Oscars throughout 60 years was like, I think Hattie McDaniel won the first one, then Sidney Poitier won one, and Lou Gossett won one. And I'll probably never win an Oscar for saying this, but hey, what the hey, I gotta say it. Actually, I might not be in any trouble because the way it's been going is about every 20 years we get one, so we ain't due to about 2004, so... By that time, this was all blown over. I said I wasn't going. And my manager said, you just have to go. You can't snub the Academy. So I came down here to give the award. I said, but I just feel that we have to be recognized as a people. I just want you to know I'm going to give this award. But black people will not ride the caboose of society. And we will not bring up the rear anymore. I want you to recognize us. He said, well, fine. It's done. I said, no, when do I have to be there? He said, well, you don't have to get there until about 9 or 10 because it's the last award of the evening. So...
And we're not going to be the caboose, but you are going to give out the last award of the evening. I like that a lot. That's Eddie Murphy in 1988. And by the way, since then, Halle Berry and Denzel Washington have both won Academy Awards. And the woman...
And Cuba Gooding Jr., Whoopi Goldberg, Halle Berry, Jamie Foxx, Morgan Freeman, Forest Whitaker.
That's a pretty good list.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There have been other winners. But yes, I understand what he's saying.
The woman who's the president of the Academy, Cheryl Boone Isaac, says she's heartbroken and frustrated by this. She says, "We celebrate the extraordinary achievements of our nominees, but I'm heartbroken and frustrated about the lack of inclusion. This is a difficult but important conversation, but it's time for big changes. The Academy is taking dramatic steps to alter the makeup of our membership." Well, that would seem to be the key right there.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you right now, nobody who voted for the Academy Awards this year cares about Jada Pinkett Smith showing up at the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Or Spike Lee showing up at the Academy Awards. That's not going to change the fact that they are going to vote for, in many cases, people who they know.
Yeah.
It's a popularity contest in many ways.
It helps them sell more movies.
Right.
That's what its goal is. Recognize people and sell more movies. Promote the business.
And while Straight Outta Compton and Concussion and Beasts of No Nation and Creed mm-hmm. may have had very good performances by African-Americans, and we pointed out on Friday the irony of the only person from Creed getting nominated in the story of Apollo Creed's son is Sylvester Stallone, who also won the Critics' Choice Award on Sunday night. Is he going to win the Academy Award, do you think?
Yeah, they love the story. I think the only person that could have been worse winning from Creed is if they had Mr. T in it, who actually killed Apollo. Like, that would have been the only thing.
Right.
I killed your dad. I'm going to win the best actor.
Right.
Well, no, the Russian killed Apollo.
Yeah, Von Drago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to, because that was in 4, and Mr. T was in 3.
Yeah, right. Thunderlips? Was that his name?
That was like Hulk Hogan.
It was something.
Yeah. So the other thing about this is that just an hour ago, Al Sharpton has called for an Oscars boycott.
Okay.
I personally continue to boycott Al Sharpton, so I don't care what he says. Is any of this going to have any effect on anything, is my bottom line question for you, Colin.
Well, let me ask you if the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite means anything to you.
I've seen it.
From last year.
You've seen
it from last Academy Awards when nothing changed. Let me ask you this. How have Native Americans been portrayed since 1972 in films? I'd say about the same, especially given The Revenant. What happened that year?
That's when
Marlon Brando gave it up. And
by the way, the actress he sent up there, not an Indian.
No, not an Indian.
She called herself Sasheen Littlefeather, but that was not her actual name.
There you go. And so do I think it's going to have any impact? No. Not that night. Is this a discussion that they should have in the Academy? Sure, why not? But I think the larger thing we need to look at, if you're going to have an award show, the people who are nominated should actually be the best. And Michael Fassbender is not the best under any metric, and he got a nomination.
Yeah, that happens every year. And again, it comes down to the popularity contest, or who, in many cases, who does Harvey Weinstein want to have an Oscar?
Exactly, yeah. So, no, I don't think it's... I guess we're talking about it. I don't know. I don't know what the real goal is, because this is one of the most widely watched programs in the world.
For the final say on this, I'm going to turn to an actress named Janet Hubert, who I have never heard of. But that's because I never watched the TV show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which starred Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Jada Pinkett Smith is Will Smith's wife. And so Janet Hubert, when she heard about Jada Pinkett Smith saying she was going to boycott the Oscars, she came forward with her own little statement about this. Roll it.
For you to ask other actors and other blackresses and black actors to jeopardize their career and their standing in a town that you know damn well, you don't do that. And here's the other thing. They don't care. They don't care. And I find it ironic that somebody who has made their living and made millions and millions of dollars from the very people that you're talking about boycotting just because you didn't get a nomination, just because you didn't win. That is not the way life works, baby. Okay? And it's very suspect to me. And I seem to recall, 25, whatever it was, I don't even remember, but I seem to remember at option time coming to you and saying, you know what, Will? You're the star of the show. Why don't we all get together? And with you, maybe we could get a little raise. Maybe the network, since, you know, the show is such a hit and you being the star of the show, your influence will help us greatly, like they did on Friends, like white shows do. Remember that? Do you remember that? Because I do. And your response to me was, my deal, and y'all deal is y'all deal. Well, karma must be a bitch, because now here you are. Here you are. You've had a few flops. And you know, there are those out there who really deserved a nod. And Idris Elba was one of them. Lord have mercy. Beast of No Nation was incredible. That man is an incredible actor. You are not. Maybe you didn't deserve a nomination. I didn't think, frankly, you deserved a Golden Globe nomination with that accent. But you got one. And just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, We Shall Overcome for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama. And y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself. So you are a part of Hollywood. You are a part of the system that is unfair to other actors. So get real.
That's Janet Hubert, who was Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
And I think she pretty much lays it out there.
Yeah, wow. She did not think much of his accent in Concussion.
No, she did not.
Was it good? Was it a good accent?
I thought he did a great job.
It's better than Kate Winslet's accent in Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he should have been nominated for it. I thought it was a good enough performance for that. But I think she just lays it right out there. I like that a lot.
Yes.
All right, Colin, thanks. We'll see you at the top of the hour for the news.
Thank you.
Colin Jeffrey, brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States, online at windowworldstlouis.com.